So, committee will come to order. We do have a quorum. The first item of business, we need somebody to approve the minutes. So, Representative Szymanski approves the minutes dated for January 18th, 2011. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion fails.
The minutes.
I just want to remind everybody, we're not going to take up the full time today because we do have the China delegation, and that's taking place over at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture in the Orville Freeman building. And so we're going to go through, do a 35,000-foot view, if you will, of the budget, and we are going to adjourn early so that members will have enough time to get prepared and then head over to that event. So. Again, that takes place at noon, and we want to make sure everybody has ample amount of time to get over there. So what we're wanting to do here today, like I said, is we're going to go through the agency budget. So we have Mr. Reinholtz that's going to walk us through this. And we asked to do about a 35,000-foot view, if you will. And then the intention, and Mr. Reinholtz will speak to this as well, but then the intent would be bring the agency in and to really narrow down, zero in on what it is that they do, the return on the investment to the state, and give us a better understanding, if you will, as far as each department, their roles, their responsibilities, and again, the cost and the return to the state. So. With that, I guess we just turn it over to Mr. Reinholtz, and you can proceed.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I am Jim Reinholtz, fiscal analyst for the committee. And as the chair said, my intention today is really it's a high-level overview just of the fiscal responsibilities of this committee and some of the various explanation of some of the fundings. And the funding sources and the uses. And definitely, I think the committee should, as the chair indicated, have the departments back, particularly as the governor's recommendations come in. And at that time, really get an understanding of what the committee, what the agencies do. And hopefully the committee will work through what are their priorities and then assess the budget that's before them, then make recommendations for the upcoming biennium. There's some members that have been around this committee a lot, and there's some that haven't, and it's probably, I tried to make it a little bit more basic than I have in the past with a lot of new members, but you should have I think it's in a three-ring binder. You have a handout that I'm going to follow as I go through. And obviously, the first page. If you go past the title page, first page really is what we call, what are the accounts of this division. The fiscal analysis department works with the leadership, obviously, and divides up all the finance accounts that are in the state. Each committee gets their responsibility area. This lists those accounts for this committee. It's the AURI, the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute, which has not been before the committee yet. Most people know that's not a state agency. That's really a private nonprofit. Was a state created private nonprofit. There are some funny differences in that, obviously, than a state agency. They really get a grant from the state to run their part of their operations, and I'm sure they'll be coming forward to speak to the committee on what they do with that money. Obviously, the Department of Agriculture is really the large state agency financially that this committee oversees. There are two separate little parts of that I often highlight: the ethanol development. Most people know that's the ethanol producer payments. is a large sum of money, and I'll speak to that later. The Rural Finance Authority is also an agency that one time was actually an independent agency and is created in statute that really was established to help in the economic development of primarily farming. some rural area economic development also. And it really, it's a complicated agency. Mostly they work with local banks and make various types of loans to farmers. They've been created in statute. Their responsibilities are in statute. They're kind of they're usually a kind of silent player out there. Most people aren't aware or don't hear a whole lot about them. I think it'd be really good for the committee to maybe spend a day, or at least a portion of a day, having the director of the board, of the RFA, come in and speak as to and show what they actually accomplish and where their funding sources come from. The other state agency, the Animal Health Board, is a significant operation that this committee oversees. And I think they the Department of Agriculture in their testimony made a good explanation of where the line is drawn between the two. The Board of Animal Health obviously deals with the animal side of it, and is really on the farm, where the Department of Agriculture is off and off the farm. They will be coming in and testifying. I'm sure there's been some big issues in recent years. The bovine TB is a large one. Really, their charge is to guarantee the health of the animal.
Okay. Excuse me, Mr. Reinholz, Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Reinholz. Just on the Board of Animal Health, does that budget run through this committee and through higher ed? Does it run right through higher ed? I had understood that part of that budget was in higher ed.
Mr. Reinholz.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Morrow, that budget runs through this committee, not higher ed. You're probably ag specials. Maybe you're confusing Board of Animal Health. Ag specials is a term that's often used, and that runs through the higher ed committee. That in the breakout of accounts, that's at the University of Minnesota, and mostly what it funds is ag extension and the ag research, and there are in some of the research that goes on in the promotion councils. Although that doesn't run through this committee, in the past this committee has had influence into how that money's spent, and I think it would be a good group to have before this committee.
Representative Marr.
And Mr. Chair, you may be anticipating where I'm going. I misspoke. I should have said the veterinary diagnostic lab, for example, I think is one of those ag specials that has an association with the Board of Animal Health, and maybe, Mr. Chair, you're already looking at how those funds might move through the Agriculture Committee.
So, Representative Morrow, we are having those conversations internal, and I would like your thoughts on that as well as we move forward. Yeah, Representative or Mr. Reinholz.
Mr. Chairman, members, and if you move to the next page, what I'm showing you here is current biennium general fund spending in a pie chart based on the committee structure in the House. And this is just to give you sort of an overview. I think Ms. Cheney testified that the Ag Department was 0.2%, I believe. That's where you can see the Ag Department, or Ag Committee, not just Ag Department, it's the Ag Committee in the House. That's $86.9 million. It's 2.2% of the 10 and 11 general fund spending, which is the total spending for 10 and 11 is about $30.3 billion. So it's a tiny little slice of the general fund budget. But as you'll hear in the committee and testifying, it has a significant financial effects. The egg sector does in our economy, one of the largest pieces of the Minnesota economy. So although it's a small portion of the general fund spending, it has significant effects on the overall economy. Generally, as you probably have heard over and over, where does the general fund money go? As you can see in this pie chart, the K-12 education is the largest portion, followed by health and human services, and then property tax aids and credits, followed by higher education. And if you look at those items that are usually thought of by people as state government, it's those tiny little pieces of the slice. Just a reminder, that's not really this committee's responsibility, but just to put into perspective where that funding goes in the state. And please interrupt it. If you have questions, interrupt me at this time, and I'd be happy to try to answer.
All right. Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you tell us, of the 0.2 of the general fund spending, how much of that of this committee is geared towards rural economic development, or rural, I think part of the committee's task is rural economic development. I don't know if development's in there or not, Mr. Chair, but so could you tell us that how much of that money, you know, what portion of the 0.2% goes for, you know, ag, so to speak, and what portion goes, I see that there's another jobs and economic development at 0.4% of the state budget, but what of the 0.2 goes towards rural, rural development, rural economic?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ward, I don't have it on the top of my head, and a lot of it would come down to the definition of what is, you know, what is economic development, rural economic development. It's minute, I would say. The ethanol payments, I think, would be included in that, would be the largest portion. The intent of the ethanol producer payments was rural economic development. That is about just under $15 million a year. The RFA money, I would say, would come into that. That is not general fund money. The RFA is primarily bonding money and then revolving loans, so that wouldn't be really be any part of that. The marketing department of the ag department would, I think, is economic development related. That's what the purpose of that is. But all the regulatory parts that you've heard about in the last two days of testimony, no, they would not be. But I could come up with an estimate of that, but not really off the top of my head. But it's a small. It's probably, you know, not a quarter of that, I would guess.
Yeah. Representative Ward. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Reinholz, just a quick question out of curiosity. Your slide says House committee structure. Does the Senate have a different pie chart, or why does this say House committee structure?
Mr. Reinholz.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Representative Anderson, the House and the Senate often are not exactly aligned in their committee structure. Both establish them on their own. I believe this year there are very few differences. There was an intent, specific intent between leadership of the House and the Senate to try to align those. They're not exactly aligned, but there are fewer differences than they have. And I don't think, I think in the this committee, I believe it is the same as the Senate committee.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. But the spending, the overall spending is the same, it's the same budget, correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson, yes, the total is the same. They just may split the pie up differently than we do amongst their committees. And the governor may also split the pie up differently as far as where he assigns responsibilities. But the House and the Senate often are different alignments, and that's where you see we'll come into like Ways and Means with omnibus bills, and Ways and Means tries to rearrange the omnibus bills sometimes so that they do match into conference committee. That's where we really do have to match up, is coming into and then out of a conference committee. This year, I believe, though, that ag is lined up in both House and Senate.
Yeah. Representative Anderson? Mm-hmm. Representative Schmansky?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Reinholz, maybe just condense the verbiage here on the graph, but I don't see natural resources on there. Is that included in one of the other categories?
Mr. Reinholz.
Mr. Chair, Representative Szymanski, it's the environment and energy, 0.8%, kind of a short. That committee is environment, natural resources, and energy, and should say commerce, since that committee now regulates the banking industry also. But that is the 0.8%. That would be DNR, PCA, Commerce Department, and those agencies.
Ms. Szymanski? Ms. Reinholz, please.
Members, then I'd move on to the next pie chart. This one is specifically to the Agriculture and Rural Development Finance, and I shorted out the Policy and Finance Committee. This is a depiction of the 2012-2013 budget base by fund. What this is showing is the total dollars that this committee has in their base funding for the agencies that this committee has oversight for, and in some large categories where that money is comes from, which fund it's called. You see that the general fund is the blue there. The general fund base amount is $89.4 million, or about 49% of the base funding in this committee. The agriculture fund, if you recall from the testimony in the ag department the other day, that fund, that's a separate fund in the state accounting system. It's a special revenue fund specifically set up for the fines, the permit fees, the regulatory activity of the department, where they are charging charging the businesses or the farmers for services, is approximately $48.6 million. That's for the 2 years, the next upcoming biennium. Federal money is about 10% of the dollars in this division, $19 million. And then there's the other, it's about 15%, and that's made up of some of the clean water money that the Agricultural Department spoke to, the Environment Natural Resource Trust Fund, some other special revenue accounts, in smaller numbers. So if you take that away, what is it? It's about half the money in the committee is general fund money. About half it is other money. That's very significantly from finance committees. It's a little bit larger here than in Environment and Natural Resources, but obviously a less percentage-wise than it is in something like education or higher ed that relies heavily, or human services relies almost entirely on either federal or general fund dollars. And maybe it's a good time for me to give an explanation on what the title says, base fund, base by fund. We use the term in the finance committees, base funding. When you're looking forward to the upcoming biennium, with the base funding, each agency submits their budget through the finance agency, MMB, to the legislature based on the funding from the previous year. So base funding for 12 and 13 is based on the appropriation that the legislature made and the governor approved for 2011. Then you start out with that, and then the legislature then makes what we call changes to that base funding to end up with the appropriations for the upcoming year. So if you hear the word base, what that means is just really we're looking at what is the ongoing funding level that was established by the legislature and approved by the governor in the last biennium. So the real important, what I wanted to point out here is where the general fund fit into the total funding picture for those agencies. Next, small spreadsheet chart. You'll see the finance fiscal analysts deal in spreadsheets a lot. That's what we are doing. We are tracking the dollars and the decisions made by the committees and the legislature in bringing that up. What I was trying to show you here is over a period of three bienniums, starting with the 2008-2009, which would be the first column on the biennium, what has a little bit of a trend of what's been going on with the funding in the agricultural area. So what you'll see is the actual appropriations for 8 and 9 out of both the general fund and then down below all funds listed by each one of the three really agencies that are dealt with in this committee. Then you move on to what you'll see in the middle is a 2010-2011 biennium numbers. That's the biennium that we're currently in. We're in the 2010-2011 biennium right now. We've got approximately another 5.5 months to go in fiscal year 2011. If you're trying to remember which fiscal year you're in, it's easy. The easiest way to deal with it is fiscal years end at the end of June. So you just go for it. You think, well, okay, so when is the next June that's coming up? And if it's June 2011, you're in that fiscal year. Once you get past, if you're in July 2011, the next June would be June 2012, and then you're in fiscal year 12. It's kind of, people often have trouble remembering, you're thinking, which fiscal year is this right now, because it ends in the middle of the calendar year. What I also had on the far right on this chart then is the forecasted amounts. In December, when we had this forecast came out, and that's where we had the deficit predicted. We have it shows each agency has develops and puts out in that forecast their estimated spending based on the actions of the legislature last two sessions to come up with their base funding. What this is showing is their base funding. So what I was trying to show is, so what's happened to the general fund funding for these agencies over a period of six years, two of which are coming up. And what you'll see is that from the first comparison that I have there shows change in percent change for the dollars between fiscal year 08-09 biennium and fiscal biennium 10-11. And you'll see, for example, the Ag Department, their general fund appropriation between that biennium went down by $20 million, a decrease of 22%. But interestingly, if you go down to the bottom where it talks about all funds, you'll see that the Ag Department during that same period of time actually went up in spending, if you include all funds. So it's complex. It's when you have an agency that's dealing with funding from numerous sources, it takes a lot, you know, there's a lot of information that comes into really understanding what's going on. And even though you see that the general fund went down by 21%, what it's showing is all, when you include all funds, spending went up by 3%, covering the division.
So, Mr. Reinholz, is that a reflection of increase in fees, some of these fees for services?
Mr. Chairman, that is part of it. There's another part of it that is one-time-only funding items in a one biennium can swing those numbers rather drastically, especially in a smaller agency. There was, for agriculture, part of that explanation is in 08-09 there was a significant general fund appropriation one time only to the Ag Department to be used for clean water activities. That did not show up then in 10 and 11. So the Ag budget shows a significant drop in 10 and 11 in the general fund. But there was a significant increase in non-general fund appropriations to the Ag Department for those same activities out of the Clean Water Fund in 10 and 11. So that's why the total funding actually went up. That's where it becomes difficult sometimes to assess what's going on. You got to look into the detail and see what went up and what went down. Also in that same period of time, what went down greatly was the ethanol payments. The ethanol payments in 10 and 11 went down significantly from where they were in 8 and 9. So a lot of things come into play. The general fund is obviously important because that's the fund, that's the main funding source for the state, and comes from income tax, sales tax, primarily, and that's the one that we have that we are talking about when you hear talk about the deficit is the general fund. Okay, so that there was things happening between 8 and 9 to the current 10 and 11, and then if you also, I have comparisons going from the 10 and 11 to the base forecast for 12 and 13, and what you see there is the Ag Department going up 3.7 in their base funding for a general fund. And what is happening here is the ethanol reductions that took place in the 10 and 11 session were made one-time-only reductions by the Ag Committee in the bills in 9 and 10. Those, we sort of say those bounce back. Their base comes back to where they were before that. The legislature can dictate what base will be in future years by putting it into the statute, that the law that passed on the appropriation. Normally, if the legislature doesn't mention it, base funding is for 12 would be whatever the funding was in 11. In both 9 and 10 legislation, that made one-time only cuts in ethanol, so ethanol comes back is what's going on there. And you look down at Mr. Chairman, and the all funds shows that there's a decrease of 2.1%. That probably is a greater decrease than it will be, and what the explanation of what's going on there in the forecasted amounts, there is no dollar in there for the Clean Water Fund, because Clean Water Fund does not have any base funding. It's set up to be a biennium to biennium funding, nor is there any appropriation there for LCCMR funding, the Environmental Trust funding. And I do expect that the Agriculture Department will get funding from those sources. They just don't show up in a forecast because they're not base funding. So there's a lot in play, and sometimes it's you almost have to get to the real details, is what I'm trying to show you and explaining, to understand what's going on with their spending. And the agency has, and that would be some good questions to ask the agency. If you ask the agency, and I have those numbers, and I can show them too, I don't have them here. If you look at it, so what happened to the pass-through budget? Pass-through budget go up? Yes. How about the agency operating budget? What has happened to that? Those are good questions to ask the agencies when they're before you, and they can provide that. I can do runs that provide that too. Because oftentimes the total may be up, but the agency operating budget is in the AGS department's in their particular budget, their operating budget has been down in the general fund, even though it shows an increase coming into there. I think because ethanol is what increased, their operating budget was cut, and those cuts were made permanent. It's a lot of numbers, and I said it was a high-level look, and I guess it is, in the sense that all I'm talking about is the agency-level look. So, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Excuse me. Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry, Mr. Ransfield. Just if you could just touch on the Board of Animal Health, the 29.9% forecast reduction.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Morrow, part of that is changes in it's primarily non-general fund. As you can see, I've got up on the top there, they go down only 1.2% on the general fund. And I believe it was mostly federal money. They had there, if the bovine TB had brought in some federal money that I believe that they don't anticipate coming in the future. As you can see, I'm trying to look it up a little bit quick here, looking in their book. I don't have. It shows some other miscellaneous special revenue funds down, and I'm not sure what those are coming from. But when they come before us, it certainly would be. We'll get an explanation of that.
Okay. Please proceed, Mr. Reynolds.
Members, if you move on to the next page, then, and I put it in here just to remind myself to speak to it and to give you a little idea of what the agricultural fund is. The state budget is broken up and accounted for in a lot of separate funds for various reasons. This one came up in the testimony of the Department of Presentations the other day, so I thought it would be a good time for me to hit on it and just give you a little taste of so what does that mean? So I'm using this fund statement. They put out a fund statement along with every one of the forecasts that shows the condition of that fund as far as its revenue and expected expenditures. If you go on to the next page, what it's got a listing of there is really it's kind of the index out of the fund, and I put that in there just to give you an idea of what does that ag fund involve? And you can see here it involves pretty much all the regulatory activities of the department. This, like I said, this is just an index, and I didn't just put in the 40 pages of this fund statement. But what it's got is both the revenue and the expenditures for all those items that are listed here as accounts, the fertilizer inspection, the pesticide, the waste pesticide, all the way down to the ag statistics and the ag best management practices. All those activities are funded through fees, permit costs, or in some cases they're selling services or products. So what we have is on each one of those, if you're interested, you can get detail on so how much money is number three. Mr. Bezicki yesterday spoke to fertilizer inspection and pesticide regulatory three and four. You can look in the detail on those pages and see how much money has come in on the permits and the licenses for those things and how much of that money has been spent. The next page, if you would go to it, would show you how that this one shows the entire fund, but what I'm saying is there would be a breakdown by each one of those little accounts within the fund if is available, and I look at them, the department follows them, because by law they're supposed to be at the fund level, it needs to be in the black, can't be in the red significantly. What this shows you is, and this one was a February one, but it shows if you go off way to the far right, what you see is there's estimated to be a carry forward of $13 million. Receipts into the department down there where departmental earnings are estimated to be $19 million. And they're estimated to be spending about $22 million in total out of this fund. So it's a significant portion. As you remember from the pie chart, this ag fund is a significant portion of the expenditures in the department. And you kind of wonder, well, so what are we charging these fees for? What are they based on? State statute actually requires in general that these types of services be paid for by those people receiving the services. It's in law, some particular things get exempted from that law, but the overall law, the basis behind it is services provided will be paid for by those that receive the service. Most of these are considered either services or the regulatory issues are treated the same also. They're not supposed to make money on it. We're not supposed to subsidize it. They're supposed to be self-sufficient is what it is.
Mr. Reinholz, we have a question. Representative Schimansky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Reinholz, with these special accounts, these reserve accounts, are they protected from being tapped to supplement the general fund in times of shortfall?
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Reinholz.
Representative Schimansky, no. This committee, that's some of the actions that have been taken in previous sessions is they will, balances have been taken away from accounts. In general, I would say that's not good policy. Most fiscal analysts would say that's not good policy too. But it has been done by the legislature because even though you may say it's not good policy to do that, it's been done basically as a Band-Aid of sorts or part of the fixing of a crisis. The people you will likely hear the most from is those people that are paying those fees or licenses. They're paying those with the expectation that the money will be used for a particular service. They would be the primary people that will be unhappy to see that done. But it is possible and has been done.
Representative Schimansky, follow up. Mr. Reinholz.
Members, I just put in the overall fund statement amounts. They are available for each one of those in more detail. Obviously, and can be looked at if you have interest in any particular activity of the department that's covered by those. Just let me know and I'll work with you on getting the information you want. The next page in my handout is a fact sheet from the Department of Agriculture on the Ethanol Producer Payment Program. This program has probably generates more interest from members that are not part of the Ag Committee than any other part of the Ag budget, so I thought I'd emphasize this one a little bit for you. Because it also is there's a significant time of change at this point on this program. And you may have heard in some of the testimony that we are now coming to the end of the period where we will be making ethanol producer payments under the current law. The next biennium, those payments that as the state committed to will have been paid off. And like I said, right now we're in the 2011 fiscal year, and you can see that the appropriation for the ethanol producer payment, as I mentioned when I was showing the overall appropriations for this committee, was down to $9.9 million. Down from in 2006, it was 18.1, down to 15 million for a few years, then in 2009 down to 14, and then 10 and 11 when we had the budget crisis in the current biennium. That was the largest reduction in the ag area was done to the ethanol producer payments. What you see here, though, is what is called regular payments. Those have ended. We're now done with the regular payments. Those are the payments, the 20 cents per gallon payment that was promised to new plants for a maximum amount of production and during a maximum number of years. That's done. What we are still paying in the 2011 is what is titled deficiency payments there. And what has happened in not only in the last budget cycle, but in previous budget cycles beyond the years of this chart, reductions were made in that 20-cent payment down to a lower amount. At the same time, the promise was made to those plants that we will eventually pay you back that money in future years. In 2011, we are now paying back that money and expected to, and we have been paying it back in 8 and 10 also, significant amounts of it. It shows that $9.948 million of deficiency payments are expected to be paid in 2011. Moving forward into the biennium, the upcoming biennium that this committee will be dealing with, we're expected to finish making those payments, at least if in the base budget amount of $15 million. Here it shows that the ethanol bounced back sort of up to that 2008 base, back to $15.168 million. There are no regular payments left to be made in 2012. Deficiency payments will take almost all of that money, $15.0 million. It shows there is $154,000 for other purposes. I'm trying to point out here, and is of should be of very huge importance to this committee, is 2013. 2013, the appropriation in the base is $15.168 million, but as you can see, that we no longer are doing regular payments, no longer are doing deficiency payments. There's $15.168 million that is basically now freed up to be used for other purposes of this committee's choice. This came about from changes back in the 2005 session, I believe it was, that has been amended at several times also, though, that states in current statute states that, and it's the last paragraph at the bottom of this page speaks to it, it's section 41A.09 through 41A.112. says that this appropriation for referring to the ethanol producer payments will be available for other activities when it's not needed for producer payments any longer. That is happening in 2013, that no longer is needed for those payments. So what does that mean for that money? If you go to the next page, I actually copied off parts of that statute to show you where the current situation is. Currently, I put in there 41A.09, and that's where it says that the commissioner may provide financial assistance under the Agriculture Growth Research and Innovation Program with any amount of the appropriation of ethanol producer payments in excess of the amount needed. That's where it's in statute says once producer payments are done, that money can be used for other things. This statute actually says the commissioner may provide financial assistance. That came about, I'm not sure the year that went into there, that came about as in a conference committee, that particular language on how that money would be used. 41A.12 is a statute that establishes that program referred to up above as Agriculture Growth Research and Innovation. And what that lays out is some general guidelines on what that money can be used for. It establishes the program, and then the activities authorized is obviously the important one, and it says this program, the commissioner may issue grants, loans, or other forms of financial assistance. Eligible activities include the livestock producer grant program, bioenergy awards under the Next Grant Energy Award, and financial assistance to support other rural economic infrastructure activities. It's a wide open definition of what that money can be used for as almost anything that comes under the purview of this committee would meet that. But also in the last part there you say the commissioner in consultation with the chairs of this committee and that may award these funds, may develop the program and award these funds. What am I saying? Realistically, this committee has the opportunity at this point, an unusual opportunity, to come up with a design on how to aid rural economic infrastructure activities with $15 million in 2013. Unfortunately, it's also a very difficult time to budget-wise. This is general fund money. But I would suggest the committee spend significant time on developing what they think is a good use of this money. I'm sure that the governor will be recommending a use for this money in his budget, as in statute the commissioner is actually charged with coming up with a plan for that. This committee then will have the choice of either approving that plan or modifying that plan. So it's a significant opportunity, Mr. Chair, for this committee to have some effects on the rural development area.
And Mr. Reinholtz, Representative Falk, you raised this question in a meeting not too long ago, and so just like Mr. Reinholtz was talking about, we have the directive and the opportunity here to establish what it is that we can use this money for and focus again on rural growth, rural economies, rural development, et cetera. So this is big. I mean, we have this opportunity, and we shouldn't let it pass us by. So, Mr. Reinholtz.
Mr. Chairman, members, there's one last attachment to this. It's really, I think, about four pages long, and I put it in here not to speak too long to, but just to familiarize people with what this is. This is the spreadsheet that I use, and you'll see this as we're going along as the committee is making decisions. This is how I track what the committee does, and I just wanted to explain a little bit about what it's showing. This spreadsheet shows all the money tracked through this committee, all those monies that I showed back in the other the first couple slides and pies, broken down into quite a bit more detail. You don't need to concern yourself with that detail. Usually that's my job. That's what I do. I keep track of that. I'm just laying it out here so when you see this before you, you'll know what you're seeing. What you see is I've taken the Department of Ag, and then in line six, it's Protection Services Programs. You heard from Protection Services one of the other days on their budget. What I lay out in lines 8 through 18 is the base budget for that activity at the agency. It's showing the current expenditures we have to track. That's what we base. It's there to see what we're spending now. It's got the forecast amounts for 12 and 13 from December forecast. And then it also has what normally is called the tails. The forecast amounts for 14-15. This committee is required by House rules to report their bill out, showing that it's balanced within their target. This and shows the total expenditures. That's what this spreadsheet is all about. It fulfills the House rule requirements for any bills, omnibus bills, showing what effect they have on finances for the two bienniums. I'll be tracking this. You'll see it. What you'll want to concentrate on is on line 20. When this is being done, right now it's just a title called change items. That's usually what the committee spends its time concentrating on, is where are we going to make changes to the base budget. Some of this comes into this whole discussion that the legislature has about should we have zero-based budgeting, should we have budgeting based on what we do now. It's based on previous spending levels. That is, in statute, how we do our budgeting right now, based on previous spending levels with changes. The committee spends the majority of its time on change items. That doesn't mean the committee the committee certainly has the ability to go into in-depth looking at anything that's in the base, picking out areas of interest, getting as much detail as you want, making as many changes to that as you want. Is your choice. Some people, I advocate that doing that on every item would be really zero-based budgeting, a task that you would never, recommendation, you could never do in the time allotted, and probably would result in the same very similar results anyhow. But it is a good idea to go in and in-depth look at some items that are in the base that you maybe are interested in or just want to be familiar with. This committee has pretty much full control of what they want to look at and where they want to concentrate on. And I would suggest that you work with the chair and the chair's staff in bringing forth those issues as we go through. This was my presentation. It was really high-level presentation. As the chair mentioned in his intro, I would highly recommend that you get into the departments in more detail, and at that time I'll be happy to help bring forth further detailed information.
We do have a question. Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Reinholz, I just want to be clear in my mind that I heard you correctly and not ever misinterpret or misstate anything that you said. And it goes back to your comment just a minute ago about zero-based budgeting, or how we as a committee move forward with the budgeting in this committee. And what I heard you say, and correct me, or clarify for me, or correct me, or whatever, was that in your opinion, as a fiscal analysis for this committee, zero-based budgeting is, in fact, looking at previous spending, appropriations and spending, line by line, and taking into account past the spending practices, and then moving forward with current spending practices or future spending practices, not necessarily going back to a zero dollar figure, but looking at past appropriations of spending and then moving forward with that same kind of concept. And then I heard you say that if we went back to, you know, the zero, that probably it wouldn't be it would be too time consuming. Is that what you said?
Mr. Reynolds.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Ward, I said that this committee doesn't have scheduled time to do that. It would be, you know, just hugely time-consuming to go back and look at everything that's in a base budget to the extent that change items, if you wanted to look at it to the same extent that change items are looked at, yes. There is nobody, I don't think there's an example in government of true zero-based budgeting. There's not many examples in private industry, I don't think, of true zero-based budgeting, certainly not of large entities. Most entities work somehow from what they're currently spending or their revenue also. Most people don't start their revenue projections at the beginning of a year from zero. They're building on what your history is. Obviously, way more accurate in making projections when you're building off your history. Zero-based budgeting is a concept that's been around for a long time. We have done it at some point to some extent in state government. Some committees have chosen to start with zero on a particular area of their budget. And I said, I think from the things I've read and what my experience would say, you would end up very close to the same final budget doing it that way. There is very little in these base budgets that isn't there for a purpose. They're all there because of somewhere, sometime along the line, the committee and the legislature has passed those budgets. There is very little, especially in this committee, there is very little that isn't pretty transparent. So I think that in the agencies themselves, I think, are very good at when things are no longer necessary, recommending moving the resources elsewhere. So they're constantly changing what they do in bringing it forth to the committee in some cases. In many cases, they have a lot of freedom to change a lot of what they do specifics-wise and do it on their own. A lot of it comes down to, and here I can give my plug for what I think that the committee, the budgeting that should be important, is we need to move to performance-based, results-based budgeting in. That's, to me, that is more successful than zero-based budgeting. Still doesn't do anything unless you know what you want the agency to do. What is important is the committee should have, in the legislature and the agency, should have goals, a mission and statement and goals, and measurable objectives on how they're going to meet those goals. And we should be judging results based on cost-benefit analysis, and when I say the agency, I also say that members that bring forth bills should be questioned as to what are the results on that bill, not just the agencies. It's a difficult process. For the last 3 years, though, the Environment Finance Committee has tried to do some of that, and has finally gotten the agencies to present their budget in a results-based budget format. And it's been very valuable to those agencies because I think the results-based management is different than results results-based budgeting. I'm speaking to the committee doing results or performance-based budgeting. I've worked in agencies where we used results-based management, performance-based management, and they do go together. They are slightly different, but this committee, I would suggest, as everything's coming up before them, or any change items for certain, or even the base, try to say what are the results of the spending, and can we measure them? I would say if you can't measure your results, there you've got to be skeptical about why you're doing it. If people can't do that, then there's really no. It's based usually then on assumptions that. If you can't measure your assumptions, I'm not quite sure that there's that much value in them.
And members, I did comment on that in my opening statements about bringing the departments in and gaining full awareness in what value they bring to the state, you know, the purpose. And like Mr. Reynolds was saying, what are the results to what it is that they do? Representative Ward, do you have a follow-up? All right, Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Reynolds, with trying to avoid drilling down into the details, but you got my curiosity. On the fiscal year 2011, in the various categories, near the bottom, it says that there's an agency expenditure item, and it looks like from 10 to 11, those agency expenditures doubled, and then they dropped back down in 12 and 13.
Mr. Chairman, Reynolds. Representative Szymanski, can you tell me what page you're looking at?
We're on...
Is it the spreadsheet?
Yeah.
And what page or what line item are you?
If we were looking at line 16, I believe, line 16 or line 40, foot 39. Pardon me, I don't have my glasses on. So,
Mr. Reynolds.
Which line 16 you said?
Yeah, line 16 says agency.
Szymanski.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
And it's... Mr. Chairman, Representative Szymanski, so it's just this, it's an agency line?
Yes.
It's called the agency fund, and it's a small amount, the 159 and the 117 and then 60?
Representative Szymanski.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Reynolds.
Agency fund is kind of it can be a catch-all thing. It can be used for, like, sales of, when they're having sales of publications or if they've got a cooperative agreement with another, like, a federal agency or something. So. It can vary. It's what's called a statutory appropriation account. Really, any money that comes in for that use from is then appropriated back to the agency automatically. Usually, it's usually used for things where they're getting outside revenue, but then have expenditures. So it can jump around especially when it's a small amount like that.
Representative Szymanski, follow up.
So just an assumption could be some federal stimulus money or something like that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Szymanski, you know, federal stimulus money is actually listed on here as a separate item. Okay. If you look down on line 53, you'll see it's shortened down to say Fed Stim, but that is federal stimulus money. We're required that federal money is because of the federal government requirements is tracked with its, into its own fund. We have a lot of requirements on. That's why you see all these. Numerous funds, some requirements from the outside people, most of them set up by the legislature to track funding in particular ways.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment, I guess I would agree that in the scope of this committee, zero-based budgeting is not practical. And you talk about outcome-based budgeting, but a lot of the things that we government provides are services that are difficult to measure, like a game warden, for example. How do you measure the impact of a game warden? Number of deer he saves or tickets he issues? So what we usually wind up doing is making across-the-board cuts, you know, to general department budgets. Do you see that as the way that it's going to go again?
Mr. Reynolds.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson, obviously the Finance Committee's decide. Do I like predicting what they're going to do is difficult. I would highly recommend against it. I would recommend that priorities be made, low priorities be reduced, high priorities be maintained. The only thing that comes into there that is efficiency. If you want to talk about efficiencies, that you can maybe do across the board. But if you want to talk about actual permanent reductions, I think the time is past where you wring out efficiencies to that extent from agencies. As you see, these reductions have been continually ongoing for a while in some ways. And I just believe that it's your choice, but do you want to set the budget or let the agencies set the budget in some respect? When you throw out a 15% across the board cut to an agency, they determine where they're going to make the cut. When you decide to make a dollar amount cut out one activity, you decide where to make the cut. I highly promote the legislature. The legislature's main charge is the budget of the state of Minnesota in many ways. And I promote that the legislature take that responsibility seriously and do set. It is harder to do. This committee would have to set its priorities for the budget and then evaluate the budget based on those priorities. It's hard to evaluate a budget if you don't know what outcome you want. Can this committee say that what we want for our outcome to be? At this point, I don't know that I could state it, because there's a lot of new committee members. That might be something that you'll work through and come through either in consensus on the actions you take, or else you could actually, you know, there is in statute goals for various parts of state government. You can look at those and change those if you want.
It's great advice. It is about priorities. Representative Anderson, you have a follow-up? No, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Reinholds, I just want to note, I appreciate your candor. You know, majorities come and go, but you always provide blunt advice to whoever's here, and I think it's important to take that expertise seriously and hope that throughout this process you'll continue to share your ideas and your expertise, because it's very valuable.
Thank you, Representative Hansen, and I'd echo that as well. And any other questions? Mr. Reinholds, do you have any additional information you'd like to go over at this time?
Mr. Chairman, other than I encourage any members of the committee to, if you have any questions, come and contact me, and I'll do what I can. If you want information, that's what I'm here for. And I would suggest you do it earlier rather than late, because you'll find that things, when you get down to the decision time, things come very, very quickly.
That's right. Thank you, Mr. Reinholds. Members, just a few informational items here. The next meeting will be Tuesday, January 25th. We're going to have the Board of Animal Health and AURI come in and address the group. And then the following Thursday, January 27th, we'll have the U of M come in and address the group as well. For the members that were not here at the beginning, just a reminder as well about the China Trade Delegation that will be over at the Department of Ag for luncheon. Everybody here is invited. I believe you all have invites. And with that, meeting is adjourned.